Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday, July 17th, and today is a special day. I meant to share it as we were wrapping up the previous segment. Steve and Mary Hokanna of St. Charles, Missouri are day sponsors today, and it's in thanksgiving to God for their 35th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That is exciting. And get to see Chaplain Steve Hokanna here at the IC. And I know Mary is a regular listener, so thanks so much for partnering with us to help us tell the good news of Jesus. Thanks for being our friends here at KFUO. Joining us by phone, speaking of friends, the Reverend Trevor Sutton. He's pastor and writer, pastor at St. Luke Lutheran Church in, is it Hazlett, Michigan? Good morning, Pastor Sutton.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Did I get it right? Is it Hazlett?
Yep, Hazlett. Also Meridian Township, because we now have two campuses.
That's right.
So one's in Meridian Township and one is Lansing, Michigan.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. I know you are constantly working on all kinds of things, writing and social media-ing.
Yeah, is that it? What's
the verb for that?
Facebooking?
And as I was reading your curriculum vitae, I read that you have a degree in digital rhetoric. I have to know, what does one study for digital rhetoric? And then if you have studied that, then you have to be able to answer the question, what is the verb for social media-ing? So.
That's all I studied was, what is the verb for social media-ing? No, people always ask that question, what is digital rhetoric? I think the first, that word rhetoric, people have a vague idea of what that is. You know, rhetoric's an ancient field of study,
mm-hmm.
Going back to Aristotle, talking about the available means of persuasion and things like that. And so people have been studying rhetoric for generations. The digital rhetoric is kind of the newer addition. And what that is that's really looking at how has computer technology, digital technology, how has that changed the shape and the way that we do communication, writing? How does that change rhetoric? So really what it looks at is communication and rhetoric and the writing in a digital world.
I think I need that degree. That's fascinating.
Yeah, the most basic example, the things that we use all the time, email would mm-hmm. be an example of composing, but on a computer, or PowerPoint, social media. All of these things are kind of in that field of study of digital rhetoric.
Well, that's something that I think, well, we've talked about it a little bit before, but conversing and language in the digital space is very different than language and conversing in physical space.
Sure.
When you're with people.
Exactly. And I think I heard that today is like World Emoji Day.
It is.
And even the idea of an emoji is a thing that's uniquely, I think, in the realm of digital rhetoric, that these little symbols can capture a whole message, and we understand them and use them, and they're part of our daily discourse now.
I think today's show title is going to be all in emojis. We'll see if we can figure it out. So how does technology affect our society, maybe more so than other things or objects?
Yeah, so whenever I think about technology and I hear people talk about technology, we always think about technology as if it's only neat and new, cutting-edge kind of things. So we hear that word technology and we think of like the Jetsons or something like that. But actually technology can include things that have been around for a very long time or things that are really quite mundane. So the word technology, it comes from Greek, techne, which really just means craftsmanship or art. It's about making or doing. So the things that are technology are actually like roads and bridges. They fit into this whole conversation of technology. And I think that something like that is a really good way to kind of understand how technology shapes our lives. Roads and bridges are a great example of that. When you hop in your car, you're sort of limited as to where you can go based on where the roads take you. And an example of how that technology kind of shapes things, one that I love to share with people is there was a city planner in New York City, and he had a pretty clear kind of bias against certain races of people, certain socioeconomic standings. And he very intentionally built the bridges low enough so that city buses couldn't go through. And so that technology of a road and a bus and a bridge had this huge impact on who could live in what parts of towns and where people could work and all these different things. So this technology that, you know, you just see it every day, it's a road, it's a bridge, it's a bus, it actually exerts this really huge kind of impact on who goes where and who does what. So that's kind of one example that I like to use with people. But then obviously as we think about digital technology and how this technology shapes our lives, I think there's endless examples of how it's at play in society. The one that I'd probably point out is how fast things happen because of digital technology. So just the idea that you can send and receive a digital message instantaneously, as opposed to waiting for a mail carrier to deliver that message and that correspondence to happen, that has changed society in just tremendous ways.
Just to show how old I am, I remember taking classes in college that we called correspondence courses.
Where I don't even know that is.
It's the predecessor to online classes, where you studied, you read the lesson in the textbook and any other information the professor gave you, and you wrote out your answers on a piece of paper, and then you folded them up, put them in an envelope, and mailed them to your professor, and he or she reviewed them and corrected it, marked it, and then mailed it back to you. You had a bit longer window of time to complete a course, but that was the predecessor to online classes. So it required some patience.
I don't know what patience is.
I think patience is kind of gone by the wayside with the advance of technology, particularly in communication. We want things so instantaneously. Why, though, you know, when we think about how great that is, that we have this technology that we can communicate instantly, I think we just assume that that doesn't really impact us, especially we don't think about that it might impact us in an adverse way. What do you think about that, Pastor Sutton, that we don't think of social media or digital technology affecting us in an adverse way? We think of it as inert, or even, I don't know, just...
It's just there.
Yeah, it's just there. It doesn't really affect us in any way.
Yeah, I think we don't always think of the costs involved in the advantages that technology gives us. And so one that I always find quite humorous is for April Fool's, a pretty big news website said, you know, the article essentially said, we're not sure that people read anymore. So here's what we're going to do. The headline, you know, said something about that. People read less. And the body of the article said, if you're reading this article, please do not respond in the comment section. And then everybody responded in the comment section talking about how, no, I read a ton and I read this many books last year and all this different stuff. And so it proved this point quite clearly that people read the headline and then immediately reacted without thinking, without slowing down to actually read the article, without considering it, nothing like that. And I think, you know, just this technology, the fact that we can have this instantaneous discourse and that there's a comment section, one thing that I've noticed is the time that we spend in reflection before posting, sharing, liking, commenting, whatever, that time in reflection has disappeared.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this. We picked up a new TV show, or I guess you call it a TV show, even though it's on digital streaming. That's a different conversation.
It's on demand.
It is on demand, yes. And so this whole time I'm like researching, I'm watching, but I'm researching the actors and I'm like looking at the storyline and it's like we don't know how to slow down anymore and just like absorb and be entertained, I guess. Are there ways that we can be more conscious of this, of how social media and digital technology affect our daily living and our families?
Yeah, I think there's three ways that I often think about myself and do my own life and maybe suggest to people too. Digital fasts, I think, are something that we've been hearing more and more about. Mm-hmm. And a digital fast, what that is just setting aside a period of time. It could be just several hours. It could be a whole day. But setting aside time to put your phone on airplane mode and to just step away from, you know, whatever types of digital technology you're kind of inundated with. And I actually, when we go on vacation and we go somewhere and I do that, I have to call several people and tell them I'm not dead, but I'm just
offline.
Gonna be kind of off the grid.
We have just about a minute left, Pastor Sutton.
Sure.
Any other tips?
Yeah, the other one, digital footprints, particularly in thinking about our kids, that, you know, I post all these pictures of my kids, and they're going to be stuck with that digital footprint for the rest of their lives, and they don't really have much of a consent with that. And then the last one, this one's really practical, but when it comes to your phone, if you find yourself on your phone way too much, taking the color settings and turning it to grayscale, you will use your phone significantly less if it is black and white.
Fascinating.
So if you find yourself sort of stuck on your phone all the time, turn it to grayscale, and you might be freed up a little bit more.
I'm going to try that.
That's fascinating.
I'm really curious now.
I know, me too.
Because I love color.
The Reverend Trevor Sutton, pastor and writer. The topic that we shared today was from a blog post from the Divinity School at the University of Chicago, and also a forthcoming Concordia Journal article as well. And he has lots of great books too, being Lutheran. So, Pastor Sutton, thanks so much for being our guest today on the Coffee Hour.
Yep, thank you. My pleasure.
Now I'm going to go change my screen settings to grayscale.
Me too.
And then I'll probably fall asleep. Thanks for joining us for the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.